scripture reading this morning will be coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed us unto the world of reconciliation.
What was you thinking about during the Lord's Supper? Don't nobody answer me. I just want you to think about it for a minute. What was you thinking about during the Lord's Supper? Were you thinking about your friendship with God? Were you thinking about your relationship with God? What was it that was going through? What goes through our mind when we are remembering Jesus' death? What is our relationship with? What is it like to God? You know, if you go back and you think, and taking in what Josh just read for us, if you go back and you think about before sin, man and God were the best of friends. But when sin came about, it hurt, it destroyed that relationship. So what were you thinking about when you were partaking of the bread and the fruit of the vine? What was it that was going through your mind? You know, if you look at those two verses that Josh just read for us, if you look at verses 18 and verse 19, several things that could be brought out of that. But number one, God reconciled us to him. Because of the relationship that man used to have with God, and because of sin and the damage that sin had done to that relationship, God reconciled man to God. And that's really what these two verses is talking about, and that's the point that it's driving on. He gave us something besides that. If you look at those two verses, not only did he reconcile that relationship through his son, he also gave us something. What was it? Do you see it in those verses? He gave us a ministry. That is our ministry, is what he says. And then he says, through this, God is not counting people's sins against them. Kind of something we ought to be happy about. It's something that ought to allow us to have that hope of heaven, something that allows us to have that relationship with God, if you will, that spark within yourself that allows you to let your light shine and to be that example to all those around about you. But I went and I looked up some of the meanings of these words, and I want to share them with you for just a minute. The word reconciliation suggests moving from one state to another. And that's the word that was brought out in that passage there. It's a state of moving from one to another. The prefix re means to again or to renew. The word conciliate means to gain friendship. Putting these together, it means to regain the friendship or the relationship. So if you hadn't figured it out yet this morning, the lesson is about our relationship and our friendship toward God. It's something that we all need. It's something that we all want. Yesterday, I was privileged to have been asked to preach Sister Laverne's funeral. And that's always a challenge to me. It's a challenge to preach a funeral. Not that she was hard to preach or hard to talk about, because we all loved Sister Laverne and knew of her faithfulness and her dedication. But it's challenging when you walk up in front of a group of people. Some you know and some you don't know. To say words that hopefully will not only comfort them about their loss, but also to say something to spark or to spur or to encourage someone to maybe start following God if they're not. To call someone to be think about their spiritual life, their soul, and where they stand and where they're going to spend eternity. And that's a challenge that you have. But one of the things I brought out yesterday in the message at the funeral was this. Sister Laverne had lived her life. And one of the things that we should want as people is to go be with our loved ones who were faithful. In other words, we want to be reunited with our loved ones someday. I don't know about you. We've all suffered loss, and we could all talk about the losses that we've had in our lives and our families when someone leaves this earth. And death is a hard thing because it seems so real and it seems so final. But wouldn't it be horrible to be able to not be able to have the hope and to have to say goodbye to someone without ever having the hope of seeing them again? Can you imagine? I know you have somebody in your mind right now, someone you love dearly. And hopefully they were a Christian and hopefully they were faithful. But when we think about it from the perspective of a Christian, isn't it great to have that hope to say, I'm going to see that person again? And that's what this morning that we're talking about with our relationship with God. Is that we have to be reconciled. We have to have that friendship. Listen to verse 18 again. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not in putting their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. The reconciliation that he's talking about here took place when we were enemies of God. Because of sin and because of our relationship, that's when this took place. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and let's look at verse 10. Paul says there, for if when, talking about the reconciliation that took place when we're all enemies of God, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, he says, much more then, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. You know, the greatest friendship of all? The greatest friendship of all is our friendship with God. I was talking to someone the other day. Y'all, I talk about Stan often to a lot of people. And Stan, he's a card. He's a character. He didn't forget Wendy's birthday. He sent Wendy a text or a video of him singing happy birthday to her, and I failed. But Stan and I are friends, and we've been friends for a long, long time. And Stan and I, for the most part, have gone through a lot of things together, and we built a relationship over the years. And matter of fact, we left the hospital last night, and Stan doesn't live a mile from the hospital, and I carried Dad and Annie and Charlie and Wendy by and showed them Stan's house. And I made a picture of Stan's house when I was out in front of him and sent him a text. And I said, what rich people live here? Because he's always making pictures of my house and different things. And I sent him a text. Immediately he responded. He said, I just left there. I'm on my way to the movies. Meet me at the movies. And I said, oh, no, no, no. And we had a long conversation texting back and forth. But we have relationships. And we can almost imagine what our friend is thinking, and we can imagine where he's going in a conversation before we ever even get there. And that's the trust and the bond and the love that we have for each other. And I would say, besides my wife and besides some of my family members, Stan is one of my best friends that I know I can depend on. But think about the friendship that we have with God. what God has given you and what God has done for you and what God has done for me and how that relationship impacts my life and how it changes me each and every day of my life. You know, when the going gets rough in life, your friend may leave you. He really may. If you go back and you look at Luke chapter 15 and the prodigal son there, he had all kind of friends as long as he had money. But when the money ran out, where did the friends go? They ran out as well. And in the darkest times of our life and in the struggles of our life, and as David talked about this morning in class, when we're in the low points of our life, God is still going to be there. And when we're on top of the mountain, I'm going to tell you something, we don't need to forget God then. It's easy to think, look what I've done, and that was the point David was making this morning in his class. It's easy when I'm standing up on top of the mountain to say, look, I've climbed this mountain, look how great I am. But when we're back down in the valley, we want to turn back to God. And the reconciliation that we have that we're talking about this morning is that bond and that love and that friendship, that relationship with God that we carry with us throughout our whole life. Challenge for me, a challenge for you, I imagine, is this, is maintaining that relationship. Maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking about your life and you're thinking about your relationship with God. And matter of fact, not to make this too personal, try not to anyway, I called someone yesterday who I love dearly. And I had a conversation with this person for some time. And I told this person, I said, there's two things I want to talk to you about. And in this conversation, I admitted a few things to this person. I said, I've allowed some trouble in my life for the last year or so to be a heavy burden on me. And I'm going to tell y'all, it's kind of crushed my attitude just a little bit. It's hurt me a little bit. And as I was talking to this person yesterday, and I was telling them how much I love them and how much I needed them in my life because I needed their encouragement and how that God needed that person in active in the church and being an encourager to other people, I was thinking about myself when I was talking to this person. They need that, and I need that in my life too, because it's so easy sometimes to allow the burdens and the pressures of this life to hurt our morale and to hurt our attitude to the point that we get down. Not only do I hurt myself when I get myself down, I hurt my family, I hurt you, I hurt people around me when I allow Satan to carry all that and put on me, and I began to quit. I began to stop. And the one friendship that should mean the most to me is the friendship I hurt when I allow that to happen. And that's my friendship and my relationship with God. No matter how hard life is, God is the one that got you through that day. It's not me that got through the day. It's God that pulled me and carried me through that day. Hebrew writer said this, chapter 13 and verse 5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What more could you want from our Father? To say, I will never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I am going to be the one constant in your life. I'm going to be the one thing in your life, Charles, that you can always count on. Your health may fail you. And we're praying for Sister Jackie Sue. But Sister Jackie Sue's health has failed to a point. And we know that none of us is going to be here forever. But God is telling us, I'm the one thing in your life that's going to stay the same. When you build this relationship with me, when you have that friendship with me, you stay with me. And no matter what comes through this world, no matter what happens on this earth, you will make it because I'm there with you. and I'm not ever going to walk away. He also said in verse 8, if you're in Hebrews chapter 13, he says this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, if the cross had not brought reconciliation, we could never be friends with God. And knowing that Jesus is going to be the same and none of that's going to change makes me more comfortable. Because I may ask Nick something today. He may say, yes, Tim, I'll do that. And then tomorrow he may say, I've changed my mind. Jesus is not going to change his mind. He says, I'm going to be true and I'm going to be constant in your life. One last verse I want to look at before we close. Found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, if you'll turn there with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. Paul said this, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. You know, Daniel, when he went to college at Jackson State, he come home one day and he said, well, I am set up. I'm lucky. I forgot all the words he said. He said, I'm an ambassador for Jackson State. I said, man, that's great. What is that? He said, well, my picture's going to be on a billboard in Jackson. I said, boy, that's great. What's an ambassador? I still don't know, but I looked it up, and I want to share it with you. Here's what an ambassador is. Paul said this, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. It's a person who acts as a representative. The definition goes further and says he's a promoter. It goes further and says he's a campaigner, a supporter. He's a backer. He's a booster. Those are the definitions that I looked up. Now let's finish this verse and let's talk about it for just a minute. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf be reconciled to God. Then verse 21. He says this, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteous of God in him. Now you think about that word ambassador for just a minute. And you think about the definition that I just called out to you. You know, I want to be all those things for Christ. Is there anybody in here that does not want to be a representative of Christ? Is there anybody in here that don't want to be a promoter of Jesus? Anybody in here does not want to be a supporter, a backer, a booster? All those words I use for Jesus, that's the reconciliation that we have with God. And how we have that is through Jesus. This morning, if you're not a Christian, we want to be an encouragement to you, and it's going to be through this song that we're about to sing, through a prayer, and through prayers while we're singing. That if there's anybody here that's not in the right relationship with God, maybe you've never become a Christian. Today is the day to become a child of God. Today is the day to become a Christian. Don't continue to live your life without Jesus. It was amazing yesterday when I was walked up in front of the people at the funeral home to preach the funeral. I had talked to one person who I'd went to school with. And when I stood up there, I got to counting people that I actually graduated with, then people that was in grade before me or behind me, whichever way it was. I got to counting the people. I said, hey, we grew up together. I got thinking about that. And those of you that was there, I didn't have all this written down. It's kind of like right now. And I said something to them. I said, boy, y'all have all changed. Y'all look a little different than when y'all was in school. Life gets away from you. And I beg you this morning, if you're not a Christian, don't let life get away from you. There's one thing you don't want to happen. You don't want to leave this life without being a Christian. We want to be a child of God. We want to know that we are friends with God. And you do that through your faith. You do that through repentance, turning away from sin. You do that by confessing that Jesus is the Son of God. And you do that through the obedience, through being baptized for the remission of your sins. And that's where you meet the blood of Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning, you've been unfaithful. Maybe you've wandered away from God. Maybe you don't feel as close to God as you should be. He is the greatest friend that you will ever have. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I, Jesus, will give you rest. That's an invitation. That's an invitation to say, come back. Come back. However many times you have to come back, you keep coming back because we have a friend that's going to stand there with open arms and hands waiting to embrace you when you come back. God wants us to have that relationship. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but what? To save the world. If you've wandered away from God, your relationship is not what it should be. Let today be the day that you come while we stand and sing.